1 Kings chapter number 21. Are you guys okay this morning? Say with me, inheritance. Today we're going to speak about, and just a little bit, I want to share with you one or two secrets on inheritance. Or before that, go for me to Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 18. And then tonight, the cost of my alabaster box. But if the people are hungry, then we'll prophesy a bit more. Tonight, not now. Tonight, not now. I'm going to give the mic to you. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 18. I am very tired. So I need you just to help me. I'm very, very tired. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 18. So dream interpretation. I don't feel that thing is finished. I feel there's questions. There was one person who could interpret dreams. John Paul Jackson. If you go read this material, you do stuff, he did it correctly and it would come to pass. Are you guys with me? But it's not a gift. The Bible says it is a skill. It is an understanding. It is somebody who has a skill. A skill is the ability to do something. It's not a gift. I can have the skill. And it actually speaks skill. The word skill doesn't mean skill as in like somebody has a talent and somebody doesn't. It means intelligence and it means wittingly guided by. Which means that you can wittingly guide. You got it's intelligent. It actually, the Hebrew says intelligence. Daniel simply had intelligence that when he saw 31 plus 1, because he studied the prophetic books and the materials already. Daniel did it. He already studied it there. He studied all the writings of the prophets. He was an intelligent person. He was intelligent in the marketplace. He could understand, okay, this is happening here right now. That is happening there. Let's work it out. Let's take that. Let's take this. This is the king. This is that. This is what 1 plus 1 has mean. It's a scale. It's like one on this side, one on this side. It speaks of balancing. You've been weighed in the balances. That's how you would interpret. Come on, are you guys with me? Some people dream of a snake and they think the devil is after me. In the meantime, Jesus is running after you, trying to get you, but you're running away. I'm just saying how we can interpret certain things. And when we see dreams that way, and when, listen here, when God begins to see that you take this thing seriously and you wake up and you write it down, I have a dream journal, and you write it down, your spirit gets trained to automatically use and remember more dreams. Are you guys with me? God speaks imagine you don't need a prophet, God speaks every night. Go sleep this afternoon, He'll speak to you. Mm-hmm. He will speak to you. It's like, and He'll speak to you in many things. Listen, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling. And say with me, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saint. The word riches there means pleru, where we get the word plutocrat from. Are you guys with me? A plutocrat is somebody that is so rich, they cannot get rid of their riches. They cannot get poor. They can forever live their money, give it, but they cannot get poor. But when we know the riches of His glory in the inheritance of the saints, there's an inheritance that you and I carry that carries the riches, the pleru, the plutocrat of His glory. That when you tap into that inheritance, the glory of God will be so much it cannot run out, it cannot dry out. But there is an inheritance for you to tap into. Now people lose their inheritance. I have seen it all over. Preachers on TV, you check that one, doesn't have his inheritance anymore. They sold themselves out for a bowl of barley soup. Come on, are you guys with me? They've lost their inheritance. Show me a preacher and I'll tell you by if they're preaching or if they've got an inheritance or not. Because you're small, we can get into a little bit of intimate stuff. Is it okay? Okay, we'll be finished 1:45. So, God has been so good to this church. Church just closed their Sunday evening services from the 2nd of December or something. You know, last week, the place was packed out still. Now, I know now people are beginning to go on holidays. You know, we need to look for a different venue already. Or we need to do multiple services, but it's a bit tight with where we are right now. God's grace is on you, is in this church. You know, and if you're connected to us in your heart, in the spirit, in this place, under the sound of my voice, I am not somebody that, I'm not a lone ranger ministry, I'm not out on my own I didn't come and just decide to plant this church. This was an ordained work. By January, I didn't know I was going to plant it. February, I didn't know I was going to plant it. March, I didn't know. April, July, an angel came to me in a dream. and said, it's time to plant. When an angel comes in a dream, it's the highest form of revelation. When an angel speaks to you and tells you to plant the church because plant the church on 18th September, it's time to plant the church in Centurion. And then being told that that Centurion has been given to you. I don't care waiting on next week thinking what is going to happen. No. This is God's grace at work. Are you guys with me? So those who miss out. But those who are close by, you're going to get some good stuff. May God speak to you. Even as we go into 2017, may it be the year of takeover. We're sitting with 148 chairs. And most Sunday nights, we're packed out to 100%. 100, not one chair open. Where's church dynamics tells you church growth dynamics tells you you must by 70% already get another building. But the grace of God is here. And I pray that you'll receive it in every area of your life. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Even as you come into 2017, into a year of takeover, may the Spirit of God come upon you. I pray in your business, in your ministry, in your family, in every area of your life, may you take over in every area of your life where the enemy has tried to come and steal, kill and destroy. May you take over in every area of your life. For the anointing of the overtaker is coming upon you that night. An anointing will be released that night that's going to touch people's lives in every area of their lives. Listen, where were we? The riches of His glory. Go for me to 1 Kings chapter number 21. Let me get this message through. Tonight we'll go deeper. The cost of my alabaster box. Like I said, in my team right now, there's three that I can see that has like caught my spirit. Where, you know, it takes time. You guys understand? To birth, it really takes time. These people are saying in 1 week, 2 week. No, that's a premature baby. 1 Kings chapter number 21. It says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard. This vineyard was given to Naboth by his fathers. Are you guys with me? It was his inheritance that he received. A vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Next verse. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth. So Ahab, the husband of Jezebel. Anything close to Jezebel is evil. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs. The New King James, I like how the New King James said. He says, give it to me, that I can make a vegetable garden out of it. The enemy wants to come to you and take your inheritance and make a vegetable garden out of it. I don't know if you guys are understanding. It speaks of like worth nothing. Degrading. From a vineyard, something that is expensive, something that has value, something that can bring money in and out, to a vegetable garden. Listen to me. Jezebel is not after you. The enemy is not always after your inheritance. To that thing that you give birth. David, the Bible says that King David, when he was slaying the bear and the lion, just before he slayed the bear and the lion, that he's watching over his father's sheep. And then a lion and a bear came in. And the lion came in and took the lamb. Say with me, the lamb. A lamb is an offspring of a sheep. Come on, are you guys with me? It is not the sheep. It is the offspring. It's the offspring of David. Which means that the lamb didn't come in to take the sheep, but it came in to take the offspring. An offspring is somebody that inherits. And the Bible says that King David, and it was David's inheritance. The Bible says King David ran after the lion, opened up his jaw and pulled the lamb out of the lion's teeth, which means that he pulled his inheritance out of the teeth and the mouth of the lion. There is an inheritance for you and I that the enemy is after. The devil is not after you. He's after that business that is about to give birth. He is after that ministry that is about to give birth. He is after your destiny. If he can short circuit you, if he can prematurely birth you, if he can short circuit you, it's finished. He's after your inheritance. So when he looks at you, he looks, okay, what is there for you in 10 years before going? at where you're going. Many times the enemy can see where we are going and then stop us before we even know where we are going. People are sitting there, I don't know the destiny of my life. I can't see. Da-da-da-da-da. The enemy sees it and he stops us already. It's time that our eyes open up to be able to see what God has for us. I am going nowhere. Like when I say, like, you know, when I go, I missed 3 Sundays, that was not because I preached out. No. I don't want to preach anywhere except here. So say with inheritance. The enemy wanted to make a vegetable garden of the vineyard because it was near to his house. That's the only reason. And I will give it for you. And he says this, listen here. And the enemy says, I will give you a better vineyard than it. One of the temptations I had when I was serving my spiritual father for 10 years, I would know I have a ministry one day, but the enemy would come in with a similar ministry and showing it as if it is better. Coming in and saying, listen here, check what I can offer. It is better. And if I've taken it, I would have received a vegetable garden. If I've taken it, I would have sold myself out and received a vegetable garden. Come on, you guys with me. I will give you better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you the worth of it in money. Next verse. Said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto you. Naboth was fine, was wise. Next verse. And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. Listen, the enemy went back into his house, displeased. And he says to, and for he has said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And Ahab lied on his bed, down on his bed. And the Bible says he turned away his face. Next verse. And would eat no bread. In fact, the Bible, if you study in the Hebrew, it says that he would toss and turn and eat nothing on his bed. Because why is Naboth disallowing him to take that vineyard? The enemy is trying to find out, why are you not giving up your inheritance? Why are you staying at the place where you're staying and saying, I will serve until I receive my inheritance. I am not going to sell it out. When you make up your mind to do that, you cause the enemy with hunger pains on his bed, tossing and turning and trying to figure out, why does this person not want to give me their inheritance? I'll even give them a better one than it. I'll give them money. But they don't. What is this? Listen, there's power in your inheritance and the enemy knows it. Go to the next verse. But Jezebel, his wife, Jezebel, that's always the woman, listen. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, you know, the most counseling sessions I've done is the woman. Not me alone, but the problem lies there. Because Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, it's because the woman is the weaker vessel. It's not anything bad. That's what the scripture says, okay? It was the woman who deceived. Not deceived really, Adam, but yeah, kind of like, because the enemy didn't know where the tree was. And the woman's like, no, there's the tree. That's the tree that God said to me. So the woman was weakened and she was according to him. So, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread, that you don't eat any bread? Next verse. And I'm not gunning women. The other place, the Bible is saying, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Okay, so there's balance. And he said unto her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it. He answered, and he will not give, and Naboth answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Next verse. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, don't you govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat your bread and let your heart be merry. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So Jezebel says, listen here, go and eat and be merry. I will give you the vineyard. Next verse. So she wrote letters. Okay, I'm not going to read on. But what she did, she wrote letters and she falsely accused Naboth. And she lied and they killed him. They killed him. And she took the vineyard and gave it to Ahab. But listen, the message... Oh, I actually want to get to one other verse. But listen, the message is this, that they say with me, there's power in my inheritance. I didn't plan this. Let me just go a little bit further. I'm just looking for a verse. Ah, yes. Go for it to verse 19. Verse 17. So what happened is Jezebel killed this woman, killed Naboth, took his vineyard, but, say with me, but God. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, listen, you might look as insignificant as you might think that you are. And the enemy might take your inheritance and you think, but nothing's really happening in my life, but God. When the enemy touches your inheritance, it touches God. So much that God would speak to the prophet of Elijah and say, listen here, go to that town because of Naboth and Jezebel and what she did, because of one insignificant man, but who kept onto his inheritance. An insignificant person who holds onto the inheritance becomes significant, and God hears the cry of the... And your inheritance will cry out for you when the enemy comes to touch your inheritance. God hears and takes note. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, next verse, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. Listen, how does God know about Naboth? Who was Naboth? Naboth was nobody. Are you guys with me? When God prophesies, when we prophesy over you, God speaks to you. How is it that God decides out of 13 billion people to speak to you at that moment? What makes us so special that God would choose out of 13 billion people to speak to you that second? We have become familiar and become irreplaceable, and we think it means nothing. No, the God who does not have to speak to you chooses you out of thin. Now everyone's going to say, but we have the Holy Spirit. And you, no, no, no. Okay. God who speaks. God doesn't just speak to everybody. There's also different levels of His voice. We are very quick to say, oh, the Lord go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which, okay, to possess it. Next verse. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus says the Lord House, thou killed and also taken possession. And you shall speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours. Next verse. And Ahab said to Elijah, say these words with me, church. Say, have you found me? Say it again. Say, have you found me? And Elijah says, and he answered, I have found you. Say, I have found you. Say, it is time that the enemy is going to be found out. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 30 says these words. When the enemy is found out, he must repay you back sevenfold more. I prophesy to you that it is time that the enemy is going to be found out on your behalf when he touches your inheritance. When he lays his finger on your inheritance, he has been found out. Because when you touch someone's inheritance, you're touching God. Come on, guys, with me. Say with me, the enemy has been found out. I prophesy to you right now that it is payback time for you, even before we go into this new year. Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering. Stand to your feet, church. Stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Say with me these words. Say, my inheritance. I am not going to let it go for anything. I will hold on to it. Hell or high water, I will hold on to it. Father, I pray for every person here right now. I said to you, I'll finish quarter two. Eh? It's quarter two. So I pray for every person here so that we all can come back tonight and have a great time. That you will glory will be upon them. Move your inheritance. Don't let the enemy is not going to come off, he's going to come off your inheritance. I said to somebody yesterday that relationships, the enemy is after divine relationships, because divine relationships generate power. And if he can separate divine relationships, he has separated you from your destiny. Father, I pray for every person here right now. that you'll be with them, that your spirit will be with them. That even as you draw them back tonight and as we're going to move in the realms of the spirit tonight, that I know your glory is going to fill this place. You said to me that the perfume of the ointment is going to fill this place. The perfume is going to fill this place. And I pray that you'll speak to people, that you will minister to them, even throughout this holidays, through Christmas and New Year's, as they spend time with their family, that you will minister unto them. Even tonight, there'll be healing and so on, and we'll pray for miracles. But I pray above all that you will speak, that your voice will be heard in this place, that you'll reveal the secrets of the hearts of men. The things we have heard, we haven't read about these things, we have seen it. We have read it. We have heard it. We have tasted it. He says we have handled these things. What is he speaking about? About Jesus Christ. He was walking with them. He didn't had somebody speaking to him about him. They had a mere experience with him. Are you guys with me? May we in this church say, the things that we have seen, the things that we have heard by our own ears, we have even handled these things with our hands. By these things we have heard. Say with me, heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Say seen, which we have looked at our hands, and which we have looked at. Say looked at, and our hands have touched. In other words, it says we have handled. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The very things we have seen, we have heard, we have tasted, we have touched. Those things we are preaching. I'm not standing here and preaching a philosophy or something that I've heard from somebody else. I'm preaching something that I've encountered in my room, that I've seen, that I've tasted, that I've touched. And may you have an encounter, an experience like that, that end January, your life will be changed around, because you'll be able to see, I've handled these things. I've touched him. I've seen him. I've looked at it. I've beheld at it. It's not just, listen, you're going out with a witness with weight behind it. Are you guys with me? End of January, we'll have a conference, and the power of God is going to be so strong in this place. This is a praise offering, church. We'll see you tonight, 5:00. It is going to be very good. Amen. I was also thinking this morning, we need to do dream interpretation. People don't know how to do it. Do you know that God speaks to you every night in a dream? But you can't remember it. You wake up, you're thinking, what did I dream? And you try to think, what did I dream? What did I dream? And you cannot remember. Many of you remember like one or two dreams that's standing out. But it's like many mornings you're waking up and you cannot remember the dream. Okay, so we'll show you sometime, maybe tonight, maybe other nights, I don't know, but how to remember your dream, how to get God, because the Bible says, I speak once, even twice, in a dream, in a vision of the night, which means that if you study the word from who had the dreams, Daniel was the dream interpreter, but you know, the Bible says these words, it says that Daniel had skill and understanding in interpreting dreams and visions. It doesn't say he had a gift. It says he had skill and understanding, which means that any person with intelligence can interpret a dream. I'm going to say it again. Every person with intelligence can interpret a dream. It is not a gift. It is not a spiritual gift. You can't find it in the New Testament. Come on, are you guys with me? But everybody is like, when is God speaking to me? Why is God speaking to me? Hey, God speaks to you every night. Every night when you go to bed and you get a dream, I know there's dreams of the enemy, dreams of the flesh, but there's also dreams of God. The Bible says he at least speaks once to you a night in a dream. That means that if I live 40 years, that 20 years of my life, God has been speaking to me. I just don't know it. So I'll maybe do one sample for you soon, but listen. Let me use this. We don't read the scripture. What does Daniel chapter, just as you're standing, it's fine. Daniel chapter number 5, verse 1. Or no, from there somewhere. I want to show this to you. Because there are people here that have dreams, and the problem is we buy these dream symbols books. You cannot go more wrong than that. There was one guy who really could interpret dreams. His name was John Paul Jackson. Daniel chapter number 5. Listen. Daniel had this. The Bible says that, I believe it was Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar, or Belshazzar had like a feast, and they invited everybody to the feast. The Bible says all the rich people, all the leaders, all these guys, they were invited to their feast. Now, just as you stand, don't worry, we're going to sit a long service. So they invited all these people to their feast, but they never invited Daniel. And then the Bible says that God came in with his finger, and they could see only a little bit of his hand and his finger, and he wrote on the wall, because these guys decided to invite everybody except God, everybody except the prophetic voice. And because they didn't accept the prophetic voice, God could only come in with his finger and write on the wall. Not even God could be at the party. Come on, you guys with him. And he wrote on the wall these words, Mene Mene Tekel Upharsin. Put it for me on the screen. I just want to give you an example. Put for me 25. Daniel chapter number 5, verse 25. 5:25. Just quickly with those verses. Whoever is doing it. Daniel chapter number 5, verse 25. Listen. It says, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, uparsun. Say it with me, church. Say, mene, mene, tekel, uparsun. Now, we've never maybe heard a message on this or tried to figure this out. This is, listen. Now, this sentence was written on the wall. The Bible says that not one of the people in that feast could understand what was written there. The word uparsin means two languages mixed together. It basically means slang. So if you speak Afrikaans with a little bit of English, it's slang. That's what it means. It's almost like a different dialect. It's two languages mixed together. But then it says mene mene tekel. That was the language of the Medians I can't remember the other one. It was the Medians and the Persians was the language there that was mixed together. So the people in there could understand what was reading there, but they couldn't read that sentence because there needed to be an interpreter. Are you guys with me? The sound is really, we must just try to fix it after the service. It's like flat for me. So they called all the wise people. Nobody could interpret it. Nobody could interpret it. But say with me, God was speaking. Many times God is speaking to us, even in the night, and we cannot interpret what God is saying. We don't know what He's saying. We dream, we see a little river with a boat on the river, a bird coming to pick up the boat, and then we see it becoming leaves, and that's about it. And now we think, okay, the river of God is going to flow. Or we see, people see snakes and they think, it's the devil coming after me. No, Jesus Christ was the snake in the Bible, was the serpent on the cross. There's ways to interpret, but it requires intelligence. And when you have a dream, you'll see if it is interpreted correctly. I'm not speaking of a symbol. This color always means this. No, this one always means this. Absolutely not. It must be led by the Holy Ghost. But if it is, you'll see how interpretation works. Interpretation isn't translation. We have done translation of dreams. We have not done interpretation. All these books of signs and symbols and this and colors and this and that, it's all translation. It's not interpretation. Interpretation is when I can pray in other tongues, and then it means that, and then I can interpret those tongues. Are you guys with me? Do you know that tongues is a language, which means it has grammar, what else? Punctuation, what nouns, verbs? It's a language. Put some grammar in, put some nouns in, put some verbs in. You'll get an interpretation. Are you guys with me? This is things that we have failed to see or recognize. And that's why we pray for 20, 30 years and nothing happens. But when you sit in your room and you begin to labroskete, leendreskata lavandruskete hande, zavruskene bareskete levadre diendreskata, zebondreskete lava, lavosh, lavoshkata endelechkanae. Then you begin to talk to God. You begin to commune with God. You begin to feel His presence. Zavandi iskete, lebon roshkete kere, hangi chineskete de endre, zavrushkete leveskete levrondushkete, zabon dere, leros danavaya ledende, leros sanavati sekete ledebeyostete, leros leveskete lavantro dusht andi iskete ne mantro dota rivene ma andre. Zebondre deshkata le bene mare di otra parte. You know, through many years of praying, I've realized that brings in the presence of God. Because otherwise we can go in tradition and routine. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God except tradition. I can even pray in tongues in tradition, in ritual. I can get in there. Every morning when I wake up, if I don't have a pen, I grab my phone and I immediately start writing. Every morning. Just yesterday morning, I had like 6 dreams. Where God spoke about the ministry, about things that I must do, about books, about everything. God just spoke to me like that yesterday morning. And then what happened when I came to the bride, we spoke about books or something like that, okay? So, you know, but if we fail that, we fail one of the biggest parts that God speaks in our lives. We all want Him to come with an audible voice. We all want Him to come with I don't know, with a vision and this. But listen, a dream is the highest form of revelation you can get. That's when your spirit is lying down, your body is lying down, your body cannot interrupt. But what happens is when our body wakes up, our flesh hides what we have dreamt. That's why you cannot remember, because there's too much flesh. No fasting, no prayer, da, da, da. That's why we cannot remember. Okay, so anyway, so let me just read here. Many, verse 25, and this is the writing that was written. Many tekel upersen. Verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing Daniel is now saying. He says, listen, many means that God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Now listen, the word many is 30. Are you guys with me? How does Daniel get that from 30? How does he say many means God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it, when many means 30? That is it. Second one. Our next verse. Tekel. So he said that twice. So it's like, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. 30. And then tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Now here comes the trick in. Say with him, weighed in the balances. I'm just showing you just how to interpret dreams. Is that okay? And visions, but dreams. You have been weighed in the balances. The word many is 30. So it's 30. The word tekel is 2. So when Daniel saw 2, he saw. It's a weighing of a balance. 1. In fact, it's not 2. It means 1 plus 1. That's how it's written. It's written 30, 1 plus 1. Are you guys with me? Which means that when he looked at it, what came to him was weighing in the balances. He didn't read, because everybody there was reading 30, 1 and 1, and they didn't have a clue what it means. And then we read often, he said, listen here, thou art weighed in the balances, your kingdom are numbered and finished, which means that at the age of 62, the kingdom was finished. Another king took over at the age of 62, which is 30, 1 plus 1. Are you guys with me? But only Daniel had intelligence and wisdom and a skill and understanding to interpret this. And then they recognized that God was with him. Many people, when we wake up, we see a red river and we're thinking, it's blood, this and that's going to happen. And we don't listen to God speaking. But I'll show you a better way. Sometime. Are you guys with me? So begin to record your dreams, please.